And we're in our series, Press On. Everyone say, Press On. Rebuild. Rebuild the walls. Would you put our map up for us, Ms. Hazel, that last slide up for us? Kind of let you, again, for those of you who have not been with us, we are looking at Nehemiah, and we're looking at how rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem applies to us as the church. Now, we stated very early on that the church has never replaced Jerusalem and God's people. The church. We are the church, and God loves us very much. But it has never replaced God's love for Jerusalem and His people. Amen? It's called replacement theology. And we don't buy into it, although we realize why. Because when you think about it, because we've been grafted into the church, we've been grafted into the people of God of Jerusalem. So we stated very early on, as Scripture says, as goes Jerusalem and Israel, so goes us as the church of God. And so very important. So we have a very simple map here, and we're starting right up here at the very first gate, the sheep gate. All right? This is where we're at this morning. So if you're coming to church, you have not missed too much of this series. We started last week with the first, we dealt with the in Nehemiah chapter 2, and he went to visit the fountain gate, and he went to the refuse gate, and he went to some of these places. And we talked about that these three things represent the baptisms that we have in the Bible, the baptism into the family of God, which is salvation. We did the baptism in water, and we did baptism in the Holy Spirit, the three baptisms we looked at last week. Today we're going to talk about if you have sheep, you need a shepherd. If you have sheep, you need a shepherd. Now, I told you to turn to all those three different passages. Now, let me read to you another passage out of John chapter 21. And this is Jesus talking to Peter after they get back from their little fishing trip where they caught nothing. If you were at the men's Bible study the other night, this is kind of where Mr. Hightower took us down through John 21. And when they got to after they got done eating breakfast, Jesus looks at Simon Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus is going to give Peter actually three different things concerning sheep. I wouldn't say sheep. Because today we are dealing and looking into the sheep gate, which is the very first gate that we see repaired. The first thing he says to Peter is, number one, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Then he asks him again a second time, do you love me? And Peter says, you know that I love you. And he said to Peter, tend my sheep. So we have feeding and we have tending. And the third time he asks him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know all these things. You know I love you. And Jesus said to him again, feed my sheep. Can I just declare to you this morning that this is the simple pattern and this is the simple job description of a shepherd. If you are going to be a shepherd in the house of God, and we see it in the life of Jesus and in the ministry of Jesus, that shepherds tend, that word tend there, let's just go ahead, let's just say that's leading and caring. Tending is leading and caring, and then lastly, feeding. So we lead, the job description of a shepherd is to lead and feed, to tend and to feed. As I was texting one of my friends this morning, pastor, one of my dear friends at Lake Fork Baptist, I said, praying for you this morning, brother, I want you to just lead and feed. And he says, oh, with great pleasure. It was his response. Why? Because a shepherd's heart is to delight in leading and feeding. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus the Great Shepherd, takes great delight in leading and feeding. Now, We're going to start off with a warning this morning. Number one, if you're taking point, like to take notes and stuff. Number one, beware of false shepherds. Beware of false shepherds. And that's why we're in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, and we're going to read some verses about shepherds. And as a matter of fact, one of the more interesting verses in the Bible that contrasts the exact ministry of Jesus. When Jesus gets up in the temple and he declares that who he is and what his ministry is, we're going to see the exact opposite of that ministry of the good shepherd versus the false shepherd. Starting in verse 1 in Ezekiel 34, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to all the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? What is my job to do? What am I called to do as the shepherd of this flock? To feed you. Every Sunday you come, and my heart's desire is that you are being fed, not just anything, but that you are being fed the Word of God. You are being fed manna from heaven. That's my desire for you as sheep this morning. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who are feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. You're not doing what I've called you to do, shepherds." Then, verse number 4, and look at this verse. Isn't this the most interesting thing? Here's what Jesus said his ministry was. When he stood up and said, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears," here's the scripture he read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those oppressed, to our oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord." And what we saw in that scripture in Luke, which is Jesus is reading the scroll of the Old Testament, we saw the five ministries of Jesus, and we said the five ministries of every church must have, which is salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, emotional healing, physical healing, and deliverance. But now look at verse 34, verse 4, and see the exact five opposites that the shepherds in Israel have not done, which Jesus, the good shepherd, did fulfill. Amen? "The weak you have not strengthened." And if you like taking notes, we'll leave this up for a little bit so you can jot some things down here. "The weak you have not strengthened." That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. "Nor have you healed those who are sick." That's physical healing. "Nor bound up the broken." That's emotional healing. "Nor brought back what was driven away." That's deliverance. "Nor have you sought what was lost." And there's salvation. Isn't that interesting? The five ministries of Jesus that he says when he stands up in the temple and reads the scroll, he says, today in your ears, this scripture has been fulfilled. These are the exact five things that the Lord tells the prophets, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel and tell them, "The weak you have not strengthened, you have not healed those who are sick, nor you bound up the broken, nor have you brought back which was driven away, nor sought which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them." Everyone say, let's beat the sheep. Let's beat the sheep. Can I encourage us today? Jesus was beaten so we don't have to be. Amen. And if you've been in a church, bless your hearts. If you've been under a pastor or been in a church where every Sunday the pastor, the shepherd got up and beat the sheep, there is no joy in that church. there's no growth in that church. Why? Because beaten sheep do not multiply. They will not reproduce. Beaten sheep will not reproduce. And again, he said with force and cruelty. And again, we're going to see here this morning, he's not talking about natural sheep that go bah. He's talking about the people of God in this passage. And the shepherds are those priests and those people who have been in charge of the care of tending and feeding the sheep. And again, with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Instead, these pastors have beaten the sheep. In contrast, what does the great shepherd do in Psalms 23? He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's an encouragement to me when the shepherd gets up and deals with me. And here's what you'll hear in churches where the shepherd really doesn't have the shepherd's heart. If you don't like it, there's the door. If you don't like it, there's the door. Boy, is that a shepherd's heart. I found myself a couple of times being asked, if you want to get in the ministry, son, you need to learn to do the hard things. I need you to call some folks up and encourage them to leave the church. Troublemakers. It was the hardest phone call I ever made. And the folks that I called were like, we're confused. Why are you talking to us like this? No, that's not the heart of a shepherd. To say, I want to encourage you to think about finding another church to go and worship because you're troublemakers. And they were not. They were absolutely the farthest from troublemakers. And yet I was encouraged to call them and ask them to do that. And I just was like, wow. Sure, I'm sure shepherds deal with sheep bites and the sheep turning around. John says he's had a few the years he pastored, a few sheep bites. Verse 5 there, if you're still there in Ezekiel. Verse 5, let's keep going on. This is so important to see. Again, as we're building the sheep gate, we can't have a sheep gate and sheep without a shepherd. Why? And going to men's meeting Monday night. The Lord spoke to me is as clear a voice as I ever heard. The true mark of a sheep is total dependence on the shepherd. The true mark of a sheep, the Lord told me, and he was like, wow, is total reliance on the shepherd. Because why? Sheep don't make good decisions. Sheep are not real bright when it comes to making a lot of choices. Sheep are incapable of really feeding themselves. They will overgraze an area till there's no more food left. Sheep do all these things. And the Lord said, listen, the total mark of a sheep is total reliance on the shepherd. If a person comes and they says, yeah, but the Lord will help me, that's not the attitude I'm to have as a sheep. My attitude is, Lord, I'm going to get into what you're doing knowing that you have total provision for my... Again, we just declared it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because our shepherd does everything for us. And a person who's like, well, the Lord will help me, they're not understanding. It's the other way around. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to let God do his part, and then I get to do my part. Amen? Verse 5. As a result of these shepherds who were cruel to their sheep, so they were scattered. Everyone say scattered. This word scatter, we're going to read it in verse after verse after verse. And when you talk about a shepherd's heart, more than anything on my heart today is scattered sheep. That's what my heart is. I am glad to see you here this morning. But Scripture says, listen, he takes the 99, he makes sure they're safe and secure, and he goes after the one. That's the heart of his shepherd. They were all scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Everyone say beasts of the field. Now, I've taught you guys enough in the last few years. As soon as you see that phrase, beasts of the field, immediately what pops up in your head? Boom, boom, boom. The enemy. Again, Genesis declares what? Now, the serpent is the most subtle of all the beasts of the field, talking about Satan in Genesis. So every time we see the beasts of the field, you know he's talking about demonic spirits. And they became food for all the beasts of the field. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. There wasn't anybody who had a heart for the lost sheep. Why? Because the heart of the shepherd, as we're going to read now, my second point this morning, we're commended to good shepherds. Jesus being the good shepherd. Amen? John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. Oh, isn't that a wonderful phrase? The shepherd owns the sheep. Yes, I am a friend of God, but more importantly, I am owned by Him. Hello? The hireling, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep, and the most horrible thing he does is what? Scatters. Doesn't eat. He might eat one. But majority of what is going to happen is the sheep become scattered. Because we always think about, again, we got a wolf at my house. I haven't seen him this week, but there's a wolf that just keeps hanging around. Now, we have farmers, their way of dealing with it, many of the ranchers, is they get a donkey. Well, I don't read too much about having pastors and donkeys in the church. No, we have a shepherd who takes care of the sheep. He scatters them. And oh, my heart this morning, church, as I begin to think about people that have come through these doors that desperately needed a shepherd. They desperately needed someone to begin speaking into their life and to caring for them and to love on them and to, with all the love and compassion, to gently start taking the rod and the staff and start moving them back towards those paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Because that's where the good shepherd leads us. And as I look at these chairs, I just see faces of people who called this, quote, their church, and supposedly I was their pastor, and they wouldn't let me pastor them. They wouldn't let me care for them. They wouldn't let me lead them. And if it was comfortable for them, they didn't mind coming and letting me feed them. But ultimately, today, they're scattered. Heart just breaks. Partially, John knows this, having a pastor for many years. I will give an account when I stand before Jesus of the sheep that was put into my care. I will give an account for those sheep. And so, you know, again, I've heard this so many times. I have a pastor friends, and they say, you know what? Before service, I try to avoid the people. I don't want to be around them before the service. I'm thinking, why? That's what I'm here for. As a shepherd, if the only time I ever interact with you is when I'm standing here, that's not a heart of a shepherd. That's somebody who might be placed in the position as a shepherd, but that's probably not their gifting and not their ministry. When they say something like, people drain me. These are good people who are just in the wrong position. Amen. Jesus, the good shepherd. Amen. And when the and we're going to talk about this as we close this morning. When the wolf comes, and again, are we talking about a literal wolf? No. We're talking about the enemy. The enemy comes, and he takes the sheep, and he scatters them. Let's keep reading about being scattered again. Jeremiah 23. Turn over there to Jeremiah this morning. And we have another warning to the shepherds of the flock. Jeremiah 23, starting in verse 1. Jeremiah begins to prophesy, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep." I want you to catch this morning in your heart, that sheep are being scattered. And my heart is the shepherd is to go find those scattered sheep and to love on them and bring them back home. And bring them back to the place where we're going to, where he said in verse 4. Let me keep reading. Verse 2. "Therefore says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you. Because you have not attended to my people," the Lord said, "I will attend to you. Now you've got my attention and you don't want it." Verse 3, here's the good shepherd. "But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where they have been driven and bring them back to their fields, and they will be fruitful and increase." Verse 4, "And I will set up shepherds over them who will do what? Who will feed them. And they will fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be," come on, say it with me, "lacking, says the Lord." No lack. I want to be even more surrendered today to the shepherd, knowing that when I'm in that place of surrendered and I am in total dependence on the Lord, no fear, no dismay, no lacking. Man, that's a pretty good deal if you ask me. Amen. Oh, yes, Lord, help us to find these scattered sheep, to go after these scattered sheep. And again, who will the Lord set up to feed and to care? God Himself. As a matter of fact, everyone's heard of the gifts of the Spirit, but how many of you are reminded that Jesus said when He ascended on high that He gave gifts? When He ascended on high, according to Ephesians, He led captivity captive, and He, Jesus Himself, gave gifts to men. And you know who the gifts were? Apostles, pastors, evangelists, amen, teachers. I left my fifth one out, didn't I, this morning? The prophet, thank you, the pointing finger, the prophet. I have to put my hand out. My pastor stopped me. He said, "Listen, when you think of the fivefold ministry, think of a hand. The apostle, being the thumb, can reach all of them. The pointing finger is the prophet. The evangelist is the longest. This is the pastor, and this is the teacher." And that's always, it's a practical thing. Anyway, the bottom line is, church, I am a gift to you. You can't return it either. Now let's go back to the scripture I read this morning during communion, Acts chapter 20. It's not 28, it's Acts 20, verse 28. I messed up there. 28 and 29, Acts 20. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Wow. Savage wolves will again come in and will scatter the flock. I desperately covered your prayers as a shepherd. I thank you that I have the great shepherd this morning. But you get the picture, don't you, this morning? Of a hireling, someone whose heart is not for the sheep, and the heart of the true shepherd. Let's put it in a real practical sense. Eli, you help me this morning? Come here. Here's our sheep. What a good-looking young sheep. Say, bah. Now, catch this. I want you to picture this. He's a sheep. There's the wolf. We'll call Mr. John the wolf. And here's what the shepherd does. You're going to get to him, to this precious sheep, you're going to have to go through me, the shepherd. And I'm ready. I am armed. I went into Walmart yesterday. They had 380 shells. They had 22 shells. They had 12-gauge shotgun shells. I am armed to the bear. I'm ready for any wolf to come to my house and try to attack my sheep. And how many of you know that the good shepherd stands in front of me, Jesus himself, and says, devil, if you're going to get to me, you're going to have to go through me first, if you're going to get to my shepherd. Because again, the enemy would love nothing less than to strike the shepherd. Look at the words Jesus spoke. Thank you, sheep. You did a good job. Love you. Look at Jesus' words when he spoke to his disciples there in Matthew. Do you have that? Is that scripture? He's quoting. Jesus is quoting Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. And all of you will be made to stumble because of this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. My heart is just breaking this morning because of all the scattered sheep. And part of my predicament and part of my heart is breaking so bad is that I'm not able to devote myself as a shepherd to this flock like I want to be able to take off, to make the... Some of you are lucky that I've been missing you and you get a text from me. And I'm not saying that's bad, that pastor texts you and says he's missing you. But let me tell you what, I wanted to come knock on your door and I wanted to see you, Chuck, and shake your hand and see how you guys are doing. And I'm praying. I've talked to the leadership. I said, will you please pray with me and believe that I can step out and be the shepherd of this flock. That's my desire. I'm tired of seeing scattered sheep. I'm tired of not being able to really be the shepherd that I want to be. And so we're going to step out in faith. I really believe it. And see what God won't do for this fellowship and allow me to shepherd. And so I just covet your prayers, and I thank you for your faithfulness in allowing us to do that. But I'm telling you what, I am so thankful this morning for the great shepherd. Amen. Can you stand with me this morning?